podcast where we talk to people from the world of audio about their ideas, opinions, and methods.
Hi, I'm Mark Young. For today's episode, I spoke with the photographer, filmmaker, and podcaster Paul Ripka. He's known for the innovative content he creates for rock stars, soccer clubs, and the Mercedes Formula One team. I caught up with Paul during this year's Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland. During the podcast, we discuss his roots in the German hip-hop scene, his philosophy on music photography, and what he considers makes a good podcast. Paul Ripka is next.
Let's get it on.
Hey. Right. Paul, thanks so much for speaking with me today. We're here at the Montreux Jazz Festival.
Yes.
You told me that this was your first time here. Any first impressions? What do you think?
It's great. It's impressive, to be fair. I didn't expect it to be that young. Yesterday's crowd was like 20-year-old,
yeah,
kind of French introduced indie people, and it's proper music. So it's not as jazzy as I expected it to be. It's more like a younger vibe kind of thing. It's very hot. Yesterday was probably one of the hottest Montreux Jazz Festival days ever.
Steamy, yeah.
So we watched a great concert of Chilly Gonzalez, which was impressive.
It's quite diverse. Tell us about Chilly Gonzalez.
Yeah, but that's what I expected Montreux to be. The whole place is quite weird, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like it's you walk around, there's not a lot of security. There's a lot of like I've been to a lot of festivals in my life, music festivals, and this is definitely different to any I've been ever. And so you can talk your way quite good into different ways. Maybe our wristbands helped in there, but that was good. And Chilly Gonzalez was just great, great, great. I'm a huge fan, to be fair. I never watched him live. I know pretty much every tone of the stuff he played yesterday. And it was that was what I expected, like a proper sit down piano concert vibe. But then we moved over and I was surprised by the festival, like proper music festival. Could be Coachella as well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's I wouldn't say I'm an expert at all, but my impression is that they curate it such that it's for the region. So they try to pair up similar acts. So maybe if you want to come to the festival, you would maybe come for a day or two even, or I mean, it's pretty expensive, but I think it draws in artists that maybe you wouldn't normally get to the region here. So you
totally
do have, yeah.
And in a smaller venue as well.
Yeah. But
I would strongly recommend going there. If you're somehow interested in music, that's probably better to go here.
That's why I was curious, like what your impression was, because it's interesting to hear that you're not jaded and that you're not blasé. You're not just saying like, here at Lake Geneva setting, seen it all, blah, you know.
Not at all. It's exciting. It's been a very impressive, very positive surprise by this whole thing.
You're always open to new things. You're known for doing so many different things. You know, you're on the pitch as the German national soccer team won the World Cup. You do lots of stuff for Formula One, for the Mercedes team. You've got German rappers, you've done, you know, not just shooting still photography, but also videos. So I guess, is that what it is? You're just always open to the new?
That's very positive. That's speaking out. Probably I'm German, so I'm more negative. We are all, Germans are quite negative. So I get bored very fast is the real answer out of my thing. Like I don't like to do stuff longer than 10 or 15 times. So the more excitement there is, the better it is for me. So whenever there was something else going on. So I started as I grew up in Heidelberg. My father was a doctor, a normal doctor with the office, like a family doctor. But he had a photography hobby. So wherever we went, he took pictures of stairs. Not very good pictures, I gotta tell you.
His theme was stairs, like stairwells.
Yeah, I still don't get it. But there, in the whole house, there were a lot of pictures. There were photography stuff. I did like photography trips with him together to Prague, and we took pictures. So I was always aware of cameras. But I grew up skating, and I did all the pictures because I sucked at skating. I was very, very bad. And the other thing, I'm from Heidelberg, German southern city, huge American influence, big army base.
I lived in Heidelberg for a year.
Yeah, it's a great city, isn't it?
Yeah.
But hip-hop got invented. We are the inventors of German hip-hop, so hip-hop was a big thing. And I sucked at hip hop as well. So I only took the pictures. That was a very easy way to get in there. But I did always moving images by the side because it interested. I was interested in doing stuff, skate videos, small editing stuff. Till today, I'm not very good in one thing. But with a lot of things combined, I'm at least effective. German thing as well. I like to edit my stuff. I like to, maybe do the concept behind it as well. I like to create stuff by myself. I'm a little bit a one man army, which sounds positive now, but at the end,
I was going to say Renaissance man. You're like you've got all these different aspects that you're bringing together. It's easy when you read about it. You say it's easy to think, or maybe it's a simplified way of saying skateboarding led to photography, led to hip hop. But what you're saying is it was never that linear. It was always, you were always doing the video. Yeah. You were always interested in the music. You were always doing.
Exactly. And whenever I went I got better in one thing, I got the same amount. I got bored because I'm not very good at it. I'm still today. I'm not very talented in the stuff I do. I just want to win. I really want to be number one, and I want to be fast, and I want to create something that I can show off. I'm a bragging guy, to be fair. Like that's a thing I am. But I'm also giving a lot of credit to the real. That's why I'm not totally serious that I'm not at all talented, but there are so many in each section I do. There's tons of people who are way more talented and way better in the stuff that I kind of do. But the combined thing, the effectiveness, you see it just last weekend. So I did. I'm the content producer of Mercedes AMG Petronas F1 team. So that's a space where you could do double the quality. If you have a proper concept, you have a great film crew, you can do, Netflix does that, for example. They do a full series they created over there with a sound guy, with crazy stuff in there. But on the other side, you can also just bring Paul in there and I'm filming on a phone and 7 minutes later, it's done, it's edited, it's cut down. If the sound is right, we're good to go. So, and we reached with the video I created on Sunday, we reached 24 hours later, we reached like, I think 850,000 people with a message that the team wants to tell. And that's also, sometimes messages are very important, and the effectiveness, like I could go on and on. Yeah. Some part of me is name dropping. I'm sorry for that.
It's okay.
And it's very, very,
go ahead,
the bragger. So for me, one of the most, like where I really realized where I'm good at was when I worked for Nike. There was an American football player, Odell Beckham Jr. We visited Europe and I was his media content creation, whatever guy. We went to Paris, saw Neymar, went to a club. He met whatever, a girl I heard. I just read the news. So then we went to Cristiano Ronaldo, visiting him in Real Madrid. And we said hello and he showed Odell his car. And after he showed the car, we went straight to the airport. I edited it on the way to the airport. And let's say 40 minutes later, there was a video in WhatsApp going to Ronaldo's manager, to Nike football, to Nike soccer. That's two different units, and to Odell's manager, and all four of them said, like an hour later, before everybody went off to the States, to Portugal, to wherever, said, that's okay, can go out now. And Nike people were like, they said, okay, that's the first time, first round, that's like, they like the music, they like the editing, they like the story, it's short, it's 1 minute, it could be better for sure, 100%, but it's now where we can post it. They posted it, and then the next day, or even 4 hours later, TMZ broke a story in the United States that somebody Snapchatted Odell Beckham Jr. There was supposed to be weed and whatever on the table. And it was a huge scandal. And that would have killed the whole story. Like after that, either Nike nor Odell nor Cristiano Ronaldo probably would have posted that, because all of a sudden the media is going in a total different direction. Right. So this was the surviving, to be effective, to be fast, to be in there. That's my most, like where I realized, okay, there is a space who's not looking for the best product, but for the most efficient product and for the stuff that where you're fast, where you're deciding. And so that's something. And music is still the so.
Well, I was going to say, you were talking about the bragging. And I mean, I guess that obviously did that ingratiate you to the German rap scene, or did you pick it up while you were involved in it? Talk about, I mean, one of your good friends with one German rapper.
Yeah. So that was probably still the best thing I did so far. And the what I'm most proud of, because so we started very slow, small. The story has been told by a lot of people, that they all have the same story. But if you start with somebody in a small venue, like the first concert I filmed, I had to bring the bar people in front of the stage, that I have one shot where there's somebody.
Okay.
I had to pay them to kind of cheer them up. We sold 15 tickets and it's been 35 to, and I couldn't film the whole thing. Like, it was still not totally full. And the end was last autumn. I did a movie about his concert.
Say who he is.
Materia is his name. Materia, and he's Martin is his real name. And he did a concert in front of 40,000 people in his hometown in a stadium. Played it by himself, no festival, like a solo show in 40,000 people. And we did a film about it. 16 red cameras with anamorphic lenses and like proper full-on production, and if you do that journey together, you do learn a lot. And we've been like I called my husband, like there's we've been very close friends, we still are. And I was more like a creative director of the act, sort of. But at the end, he was not very much into those things. He liked to do music. And then he trusted me, just saying, yeah, if you say we do that on Instagram or we do these pictures, then I trust you and do that. And that's still repeating till today.
So how many years are between when you were paying the bar staff to get in front to the sold-out concert?
Seven years, yeah. Took a lot of time. That's also something, like a lot of young gals, they're like, yeah, you just got to be next to 7 years is a really long
time.
It's an
investment.
And it's been a lot of very stupid concerts in small venues. And I just liked it. I never saw it as an investment. It was important for me. I always, whatever I do, there's one thing that pays the bills and one where I put my heart in it. And this way, I think I started at being 17. I realized, in my life, there's nothing where both of it is happening at the same time. So I'd rather do the paying bill, whatever, you know, do a commercial. I shot for Aldi, which is a discounter in Germany. It's been kids' trousers, like horrible pictures, really horrible pictures, as far away as you can go from a Materia world trip and whatever. But that paid the bills, so I could do whatever I wanted regarding my kind of soul in music production. I always, music photography was the first job, the first gig I did was probably 15 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, a hip hop magazine. And I just got very, very lucky that in hip hop, it was not about how good you are and what you do. Like I was really a shitty photographer. And they liked the fact that I'm into hip hop.
DJ Tomac?
Yeah, exactly. That's my first
picture. So what does the picture look like? I haven't seen it, but I mean, no, you're...
It's flashed and I was the same guy. So I was bragging already. I bought a digital camera. I was very proud that I could connect the camera to the TV.
So even then you were on the technology cutting edge.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's the best part of what happened in my life, is that I can now buy technical gadgets and use it. That's helping me a lot, because I think there are some people, I'm a very stupid person regarding new things. So I need to buy running shoes to start running. I need to sign up into a fitness studio to maybe do a little bit of sport. And I'm really buying a lot of technical stuff to try new stuff, even though I could use other stuff I don't need 80% of the geek stuff I'm buying, but it's my way of pushing myself and trying new things and realizing what's going on and questioning and that. Yeah.
Talking about Materia, because you're doing still photography, which I, especially for concerts and musicians and stuff, that's like an art form in and by itself. But then you're also doing music videos, which are a different format to, say, recording a live concert. So is there something that ties it all together? Because it's even like I'm even thinking of, it's your friend. It's, you know, it's the same artist. Is there something that ties that together, or do you approach each one differently? The photography, the music video, and maybe the live concert?
I try to approach it differently, but at the end, it's all the same. It's all storytelling. Everything is storytelling. And that's where it's all together. Like, which story do you want to tell with that artist? I personally think that the at least regarding German rap scene, the successful artists right now that really move like downloads or clicks or have concerts where people want to see them are the ones who tell a story, like who are more. Music is not enough. I personally think you need to tell a story. You need to be a special person. And that's something I'm not a visionary, not at all. Like, a lot of people think that I was with Materia. He was highly successful after that. And that's not because of me. That's because of him. And his kind of personality and his story he's telling was a story that was very successful. I just translated it out there. But at the end, you need to tell a story with the brand, the act, the musician, whatever you are, the team, the sports personality, the actor. You by yourself need to have a story that's interesting. And there's a lot of people who are really boring out there and who just do this to get fame.
Back to Materia, because you're not just only in the German rap scene. He introduced you to Totenhosen, right? So maybe we should explain to non-German speakers, they're not, what's the equivalent? It's not the Rolling Stones, because they're like even older, but they're a very veteran German punk rock band. I mean, is there an English language equivalent of the Totenhosen? I'm trying to think.
Not really, but they're not so punky anymore. They're quite rocky.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say but they had like, first of all, they had a huge hit where Materia was they wrote texts together and they kind of, the lead singer of them, Campino, had a connection with Materia and he introduced me to them. And we first of all spent private time in Argentina. They are huge in Argentina, Totenhosen, because they supported, I think, the Clash or whatever, like back in the days, and they constantly played there, and it's insane. I've been on a private trip with them, took some pictures, they liked it, and then things got along, and then I did some video stuff for them too, shot a music video, shot some pictures, still do till today. And they are also a huge influence to my personal career, just because they are real artists. For example, Materia is a true artist too. I don't consider myself as an artist, because I'm more like a service guy. I do whatever, you know, like I'm depending on, yesterday I said I'm a tick, whatever the host is, I'm biting into it, and I'm depending on the blood, the quality of the blood they have. And if they still have blood, and that's for like, till today.
You can't tell your kids that though. You go like, you're saying, Dad, what are you do? You're like, I'm the tick.
Yeah, I'm the tick.
I'm the tick on the
artist. if the tick is ticking successful. But it is, that's something that's very important. I think that the everything I did the last 15 years, every picture, every video, whatever, there's not a single thing that was me single alone creating something. There's always, I think, a way bigger part than my part of what's on the picture and what music is in there, the writing of the music, and that's all. I have nothing. I had never, ever anything to do with writing music, with text, with whatever.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, it sounds like you sell yourself a little bit short in the sense like, yes, okay, you're working with these artists, but they would never give you such access or, you know, they wouldn't, to me, it seems to be a collaborative effort, you know, and obviously if they didn't appreciate what you were doing, then they wouldn't have you there. Right. You know, if they thought you were the literal tick, just kind of go there. And then at some point, I mean, the comparison, what I'm thinking of is, you know, like film. it always kind of freaks me out to think of how many people are involved in making a full movie. And how, because sometimes you'll see a movie that has great actors, great director or whatever, and it just doesn't work. Something goes wrong somewhere along the line. And then that, and then when a movie does work, it's this collaborative effort, this work. And clearly, if, you know, the Totenhosen, which we should explain means dead trousers, dead pants in German, but, they, you know, or Materia, or, you know, they, it's hard for an artist, obviously, but they have to appreciate or respect your vision of like what's going to be coming out with it.
No? Yeah, but still the best music video to the worst song doesn't work.
No, no.
The best song to a horrible music video is like, if you run my numbers, probably my worst work, if I like the real bad music videos are the most successful ones, but not because of the video or something else, because of the music that's behind it. That's the main reason.
Of course. Yeah. You mentioned Instagram, and I think maybe that's a good point because you did a video for Lena Meyer Landrut. She was she's a pop singer, I guess. Won the Eurovision Song Contest for Germany last time. If anybody's a Eurovision fan, they would know that. But the video was done. Maybe you can explain it better. How what was the concept behind?
Basically, it's been a look on a phone. So it's a screen capture video. It's a vertical video. It's a mobile first video. So it's 9x16. It's vertically done and it tells a story first. It starts as an like a normal video and then it goes into messaging and like my my most favorite part is in the first verse. The first interaction that happens with the screen capture is a battery warning. So it is like, and the biggest like the first comment with the most likes and everybody who's consuming the video said, oh, I clicked the video for because so there's interaction. So you kind of think your own battery dies when you're watching it on a mobile and stuff like that. Then the story switches to messages and the story gets told. So it's called Don't Lie to Me. So it's a story of herself lying to herself in social media and showing off and showing a different version of yourself. And we kind of tried to, or I kind of tried to do it in a stripped down technical way. So I filmed it all on iPhone. Not all. The first part was on DSLR, but then I switched to iPhone and then it's like in between. It's more, we created a lot of content that we could use afterwards in editing. And it's been a lot of editing in there. So that's the video. I'm quite happy with it, with the result. It was okay. Successfully.
On social media. Yeah. But what's your take on it? I mean, is it going to be like a much more direct, candid video or candid audio or whatever it might be? Kind of, I know some people, like some artists are now letting out tracks and letting people comment before they go back in and finish even finishing the music themselves, let alone a video or anything. But
I personally strongly believe if you really want to create new stuff, like invent stuff, pioneer stuff, there's no room for feedback in there. Like the less people talk about it, the better the product is at the end. Like a great product is not working out because there's constantly more. I can't talk too much about music because it's not, I don't do music. I do photos, videos, and the media I create. The more people that talk into it, the worse it gets. It's 100% like that. The Materia thing we talked about, which was probably one of the best stuff I ever did because it was only him and me talking about what we create. No other person, no label, no management, no music producer, no whatever. We went off. Nobody knew what we were doing. We came off. We went 5 weeks around the world and then we came back with videos, photos, and a whole bunch of media we created in that kind of and it's been 2013, so it's a long time ago, but till now I never had that perfect setup of just two people creating something and no input from outside. And I personally think even in Instagram, that's something I need to push myself, because I did daily on 200 days of daily content on IGTV, and the last maybe 50 episodes or something have all been user generate orientated, sort of, you know, like I looked into what's working, what gets the highest numbers, and what's what the people want. And that's why I stopped it, because I said that's exactly the opposite of what I want to create. I want to do whatever I want to do. And if people enjoy it, be my guest. So be it. But that's something I learned of Todtnosen and of Materia and of musicians, all the musicians that are around. I'm even a little envy, because they create and then they release it normally.
Okay.
Normally there's a certain level of trust that like I would never go to Materia and tell them, maybe you use a different word, maybe you rap it in a different way, and all the managers don't do and the label people don't do normally. And then that product is created and getting out there. And if I'm creating something right now, I found a surrounding that's working for it. But 4 years ago or something, I had four meetings about a shooting weeks ahead with 17 people, and people from South America tell you, yeah, I like that, but we need to get a little bit more of a future in there. And then you're adding a phone to the picture, and then he's happy. And it just makes it worse. The product, the picture, or the video gets worse with every person that's talking into it. So I'm not a fan of interacting regarding music, creating music. I'm not a fan at all of doing content. Like a lot of YouTube people, which I give them credit to, but at the end, user-generated, I don't know what the right word for it is, but at the end, if you just ask, and I think the weakest thing you can start an Instagram story is if you say, because so many people, if you ask, here's my shoes, that's not either you, there's a reason you tell them what you're wearing on your feet, or there's not. But it should never be that the people, so many people ask for it, but it's really, you're trying to justify that you're talking shit now, you know? You should not say this, and you have the gut feeling that you should not do that. And then you're sitting there, but then you justify, yeah, but so many people want that. I'm pointing on myself, the last episode, or one of the last episodes I did, and that's where I was highly frustrated, was a electric skateboard test of my electric skateboard. Yes, I have six electric skateboards. So I thought, let's sit down and go to the beach. And I justified stupid content I created by the people want that. But that should never be. I personally think there's consuming or creating in whatever you do, if it's Instagram, music, pictures, or whatever. And the creating should not be touched by the consuming.
Okay.
And it is a lot in YouTube. If you only do Q&As and only because you guys liked and like and subscribe at the end, that's a weak move. Either people subscribe to you or they don't. Mm. But if you need to tell them to subscribe, then it's a weak move. And then your content and your quality, whatever you're putting out there, is too weak to have somebody to subscribe. And it's not going to be, that's authentic content will happen if people decide to follow you or to subscribe to you, if your content or your stuff or yourself is good enough that somebody does that. It should not be, and that's something that you need to look out after. And it's a long-term investment, because the 10 people that really follow you because out of pure interest, because they decide, I want to be entertained by you, they are of way more value than the 100 people who just click subscribe because you've been told to. You need to create, and you should not create what the people want. You should create what you want. And then you need to be there the long-term investment. These people are there if you constantly create.
The authenticity has to be there. Is what you're saying.
And it's not, and people think it's authentic to ask your followers what they want. It's the opposite of being authentic. Authentic is being yourself and then creating something you want to show to other people. But I got lucky a lot. Timing is also number one most important thing, and you can't plan timing. Everybody thinks in music, the amount of people that told me this is going to be the summer hit of next summer, it never was. Not a single one of the planned out, that's how you write a hit, was the hit. So learning that out of music is the same with media or with Instagram or pictures or whatever.
Keyword yeah. timing. Yeah. I want to make sure we get to podcasts as well, because you're also a podcaster. You do one in German and you do one in English, and maybe you can describe the, I don't know, let's start with the German one.
I stopped the English one. So I'm not sure.
It. It's
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, yeah, no? not dead. I'm starting
it's
a lot
on
of
hiatus.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hiatus is the right word, but I'm starting a lot of things, way too many things. And then I'm finishing a tenth of it or something, and the rest I just don't fulfill. Like it's okay to start different things. And that's also something like you just got to do a lot. I'm really not a good picture maker or creator, but I take a lot of pictures. So if you just take a lot of pictures, and that's where timing is good. I'm a digital kid. I'm the first generation of content creation in digital media. So I didn't need talent. I could just do a lot and use it and keep shooting, and one picture will be all right. First job ever was that I could shoot and shoot and shoot with Tomek, and the first 500 pictures are horrible, and 505 was all right. It was still not good, but all right. But podcasting, yeah. Also very lucky. I got the timing was right, and we're doing. I started with a friend of mine in Germany, and it's basically a call of two persons. He's a big TV presenter. Way he's my
drop
host,
his name. Drop
host,
drop
Joko.
Joko Winterscheid.
Joko, and he's really a host, a TV host, but as well my host for my tick thing. So I bit into him, and we
haven't let go yet.
Yeah, no, I haven't let go yet. Still pumping myself up out of his blood, and he's very famous in Germany, and we call each other and talk about those small steps as well. And it's gonna be it's stupid stories. It's also stories about how drunk we were, how, but it's authentic stories. And I love podcasting because it's I'm deeply surprised by the amount of I get the biggest feedback out of podcasts. And I'm like, people write me long emails, and that's something that's for sure making me proud. And we constantly have to push ourselves not to only talk about the feedback, which would be doing YouTube stuff, because you guys ask for it, I'm not
right.
You need to also, in podcasting, we need to push ourselves every single episode to create, and don't care about what people want to hear. First of all, it should be what you want to create. And these kind of things really, so podcasting was I'm a huge podcast fan as well, myself. Like, I get a lot of inspiration out of podcast listening.
Do you have favorites you want to drop?
Tim Ferriss, huge drama, group chat. This drama is long story short. Short story long, other way around, sorry. Group chat is my, it's a news podcast, but Tim Ferriss is insane. It's like the amount of the people he's talking to and the stories people talk to him, it's just insane.
And that's the thing. I mean, now you have like so many different formats of what you're doing. So, for example, when the one you're doing with Joko, I mean, the concept, you obviously know each other well, but what goes into it? Maybe you can just kind of tell, because you do it remotely. He's in Germany. You live in Newport Beach in California.
Or wherever
you are.
It's constant traveling.
But you guys are both very, very busy people. So how is it? What's involved in the concept, and how you prepare for it? Or is it just that you guys know each other and you call each other up and start talking?
Second of all, but at the end, we know now over the week, we know stories that we may want to tell, which are of value, which are a little bit funny. If it's funny, it's the best. We want to entertain people. If they laugh, I'm happy. But on the same time, we want to inspire people as well. Like I kind of want people to learn a little bit behind, like look a little bit behind the whole kind of Instagram image. And we have a list. So we write down whatever is happening in the week, and then we call each other, then we talk for 10, 15 minutes, and then we record straight up and just record the call. And that's also something, it's very hard. Push yourself not to talk to the audience. You know, you're always aware.
Okay.
Like I'm trying
keep the
over here as well. I'm trying to push myself, and that's something I need to push myself. To talk to you, to have a talk with you, and tell you stories, And not to be aware that maybe somebody's listening right now to that talk and that I'm talking to an audience, because that's then authenticity is gone. So we try to push ourselves into real bro having a beer with us. That's probably the image of us. You're sitting on the table. We're talking to each other how the week was, or old stories, how we met, or how did you do this and that, and what's happening. He's very good in entrepreneurship. He's like, he has a lot of startups and stuff like that. And there's tons of very interesting stories how he approaches things. Very interesting, because he's a team player, full-on team player. Mm. And I'm a one-man army. Like, I really am very bad. I'm okay in teams short-term, but I have one guy working with me, one agent, and nobody else. And that was different. 3 years ago, I had 18 people working for me in my company. It was a huge studio with departments and everything. And I stopped everything because I realized I'm not good at it. I'm not good if more than, like, I want to decide. I need to be the guy who says right or left, and then that's the product I want to create. And it's not working out if somebody else is questioning, should we go left maybe? If I'm saying, oh, I always go left, never go right. That's always a decision. But still, it's and that podcast is working out. So we are traveling a lot wherever we are. It's relying on internet. Monaco is the worst weekend because Monaco has very shitty internet. And
Monaco does.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's interesting.
And he went to a vacation place where it was horrible internet as well. And then we just use, because we're talking to each other as well. And if that connection is bad, it's not good. And then we are recording by ourselves in QuickTime just. So we are using MacBooks, plugging in the microphones, and then we're recording the voice itself. Try to find a surrounding that's quiet, not the biggest room. Try to cover a little bit the back and try to. When I'm home, I'm in my garage. It's very stupid, but it's working out because it's quite good sound around it. Everybody should start a podcast. It may find your audience, it may not. I personally think if it's just 100 people listening to it, to your story, and that's the I gotta. Like, I personally try to push myself. If I'm doing an Insta story, that's like the amount, it's 15 seconds long, but still the amount of people watching, like, it's probably 300,000 people watching it. But it's only 4 or 5 seconds they're watching it. Then they're skipping it to the next one. You're touching 300,000 people for 4 seconds. But if I'm doing a podcast, it's, even if it's just 20,000 people and they're listening in a full hour of their time to whatever you're about to say, or your story, or your way of thinking, that's of way more value. So that's the stuff you should, and that's for sure something I learned out of music and working with musicians, because they say, they have a product that they're, you know, they're protecting that. They have their music. That's the main thing. Everybody is following their music. That's the core of their thing. And I think personally we should come back to this in the Instagram world and try to create, and podcasting is one of the, I personally think podcasting is way more authentic than Instagram, because it's like, it's the closest you can come to people if you are in your ears, and it's the only on demand thing that's working, like the only product that really people use commuting work, like at work another 10 minutes and then another 10 minutes at home and doing breakfast or whatever. Like, it's the only product, the only media I see out there, besides music maybe, that people really use on demand in different occasions. And that's an insane quality to touch people in these different situations.
Obviously this podcast is about the world of audio, but I felt I would be remiss if we didn't close by discussing your plans to become a fashion czar. Yeah. I heard you're going to have to tell us about it, but I think it's going to be a big hit. Tancho, right?
Yeah,
that's tancho. What it's called? Tell us what the tancho is. Everyone's going to be wearing one soon.
It's also not the most honest idea I've ever had, but I think it's a little funny. But so tancho is a summer it piece of 2019, maybe even 2020. We'll see where it goes. Louis Vuitton will follow. Virgil Abloh already signed up, designed, and I have some information. Mm. But Tonsure is the mixture between towel and poncho. So it's a towel you can wear.
Yeah.
So if you're sweating a lot, it's
Montreux,
actually...
Montreux, you would have Montreux, yesterday,
and then it rained.
Great place for a lit tonsure. The tonsure is lit AF. So I'm really doing some clothing. I did a lot of clothing back in the I'm not a fashion guy at all, but I did jerseys for soccer clubs in Germany, and I was part of so I designed some jerseys for St. Pauli and for Berlin and whatever. But so we did streetwear there. So there is a little bit of background with it. But one company approached me and they asked me if I want to be part of their jury there. Kind of, so they have a show, they have an award.
Okay.
And they wanted me to take part of it. And I said, no, I don't want to be there, but I would if we do a fashion line together, right. Which 80% of it was not totally honest, it was honest, but it was just a stupid. That's one thing we learned, or I learned. That's one of the goals I'm setting myself. Don't say no to things.
Okay.
Say no, but like, write down something how you would do it. And it helped me tons of times. Like when people approach me and I don't like it's not something where I can help, I say, no, I'm not the right person, but this person is the right one, for example. Or, but if you have this or that problem, we could do it. Or for this example, I would not be part of that show.
No, but tonsure.
But if we can do tonsure, a lit tonsure. And then, so it's called Paris, or I'm not sure about the English. We are not there in the international market yet. So we're trying.
Yeah.
We're locally. Yeah. We're in Germany starting Paris. So my initials, P-A-R-I. And Drake has an owl. So I have a cat. The owl only starts hunting when it's getting dark.
Yeah.
And the cat is out there when the sun rises.
Ooh.
So I'm the future, you know?
The cat wearing tonsure. Paul Ripke, thank you very much for the chat.
Very stupid, but a part of it, maybe somebody enjoyed any information out of that.
I'm sure. I certainly did. And that's what's important. Not going for the likes. I had a good chat.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Sure.
Take care.
Sure.
That was photographer, filmmaker, and podcaster Paul Ripke, and this has been Signal Path. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast for more stories from the people shaping the world of audio. Thanks very much for listening. Hope you tune in again next time.